Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
National Kiss a Ginger Day. I'm a ginger. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm throwing out there, kids. I'm a ginger. A ginger. Republicans took the first step to dismantling and taking away the Obamacare ACA debacle. What will they replace? How will they do it? Apparently Trump wants it done sooner rather than later. Again, careful what you wish for. Let's make sure that we do this in a way that just because we don't do it tonight, patience sometimes is good. Sometimes I understand why we don't want patience. And we've been patient for a long time with our patience, and we want to be impatient right now. Maybe it's not the best time. Maybe we do it in a very pragmatic and thoughtful way as to not upset the apple cart in doing so. We want to fix the apple cart, make sure the apple cart's good, make sure we restock the apple cart with goodies. We want to make sure it's going in the right direction. We want to flip the apple cart over and go, oh, God, the apple cart's broke. So we'll see. It's going to be very, very interesting. A lot of people on the Hill today trying to get confirmed. We're less than, we're pretty much 7 days away from the swearing in of President Trump. Of course, there's still some stuff swirling around about Russia and all this crap. But in truth, you know, who knew what? When did they know? How much did they know? Biden and Obama came out today and said, yeah, we both knew about it. And Trump apparently knew about it a long time ago. We're going to have a guy at the bottom of the hour, Mark Hemingway from the Weekly Standard, who knows a ton about this. And also the group that was involved in this. And it's a very interesting group. He'll be joining us at the bottom of the hour to talk about that. But, you know, as we head into this, you know, we've got Trump here. So this is a new thing. We've got a guy that's going to be in the White House that is solely a business dude. Excuse me. He's a business cat. You know, he's talking about things that, you know, negotiating, not only deals, but like negotiating to big pharma, trying to get prices that are right for us. He's talking about, hey, why does this thing cost so much? This is ridiculous. This plane doesn't need to cost this kind of money. Hell no, we're not going to pay for these things. I like to look at all the stuff that we waste money on. And of course, as always, we've got the new Waste Pork Iman Go book that's out from Senator Jeff Flake. It highlights 50 examples of insane things that are out there. And there is some stuff that's absolutely, you know, look, the money side of it all, right? The money side of it all doesn't seem like a lot. But when you realize the things that we waste money on, you scratch your head and you wonder why people get pissed at the government, right? $600 million goes missing there, $500 million goes. That's huge money when you break it down. It's massive money. We couldn't even fathom that kind of money. Few people on earth can. These are little things. But in the overall scheme of things, it just goes to show you that the government has so much money. And when they cry that they don't, and when we get ourselves in debt, when all this kind of stuff happens, it pisses us all off. Here are just a few of the insane things that our government has wasted God knows how much on. And these are only 50, but I'm going to give you just a few. How about this? This right here, and I'm going to use this one last. I want this one to me is incredible, and it's just, it's, again, insane. West Virginia University drew scrutiny in Flake's report for the $3.5 million study on why people fear the dentist. With possibilities ranging from having teeth scraped, filled, or pulled, it's not surprising to feel why some people feel anxious about going to the dentist. Do you need a study to realize that people don't like the dentist? Do you need that study to realize that? Did I need $3.5 million? $3.5 million. Could have put that into a project in the inner city, right? Could have put that in a project to help unwed teen moms. Could have put that in a project to help boys whose parents are in prison and to give them a way out of things. Could have put that elsewhere. How about this? $1.7 million for the Commerce Department for the National Comedy Center for holograms of comedians who have died. Lucille Ball of I Love Lucy fame is the only one there, but more will follow. More. The FBI spent $1.2 million to acquire and then remove art installation in its Miami field office because it made people sick. Almost $750,000 on a sculpture of the Western Red Cedar was making people in the field office sick because it had cedar dust. We waste money. $36,700, not a lot of money. Why do we need this? Well, the Environmental Protection Agency created a version of Berkshire region of Massachusetts in Minecraft. Instead of pouring money down the drain in virtual worlds, the EPA should have targeted some other stuff, they said. My favorite of all these, and we'll get to more expensive one, but this one takes the cake. $1.5 million in grants went to the National Science Foundation. They were going to test an animal on a treadmill. Now, producer Phil, of all the animals on a treadmill that you think, oh, I'd like to test that animal, what would be the one that you're like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard?
Oh, how about snake?
A fish. They put a mud skipper on there. But it wasn't just a mud skipper. They also put a bluegill on there. They're idiots.
Don't they die?
They did.
Where's PETA on this?
I don't know. They had a treadmill-like swim tunnel for the bluegill and the mud skipper, which can live out a lot longer in the water than the other ones. They decided this was a good idea. We'll put the mud skipper on here, and we'll watch what happened. Guess what happened? It's a fish! It ran a six-minute mile. I was like, damn, that fish is fast. How about the spaceport to nowhere? That cost us $80 million. Paid with peanuts. That cost us $74 million. The airport with no long lines ever cost us $200 million. Government PR. The government needs PR. That cost us $1.4 billion. These things are insane. We spend money on this stuff all the time. We spend money on this. This is great. The Alaskan Department of Defense, a rarely used rocket launch facility in Alaska, was constructed. It cost $80.4 million. Not going to be used. It's just not. It just sits there doing nothing. Nothing. It's doing nothing.
Chad, what's it doing?
Nothing. $74 million. A nutty government program allows federal farm loans to literally be repaid with by peanuts. Rather than making payments with cash, peanuts can be forfeited to the U.S. Department of Agriculture as collateral to fulfill farmers' financial obligations for making loans. By the way, they have a picture of the mud skipper. He does not look thrilled. I'm just letting you guys know that. There is this look by the mud skipper like, you got to be effing kidding me, right? Like, this is, how about this? $5 million, Greek 101, they call it. National Institute of Health, fraternities and sororities like to party. They spent $5 million to find out if they like to party. They spent $5 million to find out if they like to party. And they wonder why. My favorite here is the high-speed train to nowhere, $3.1 billion. And that's obviously in California. The original plan, it was supposed to cost $64 billion. By 2020, it was supposed to be done. It's up to $100 billion. And guess what? 2033 is the first time they think they'll see passengers. And if you think $100 billion is where it's going to stay, you're fooling yourself. Oh, and by the way, apparently nobody in the world has told them that we've invented airplanes. Nobody has told them that we've invented airplanes. Computers trying to learn human behavior by binge-watching Desperate Housewives. That's $500K. These are all real things. None of these things are fake. None of these things are fake. That's the thing that drives me crazy. Seeing red monkeys make Randy. The red color makes female monkeys go bananas for male monkeys. That costs $230K. So when they see red, boom. How about this? Carbon capture project captures nothing but taxpayer dollars. Here's waste that's real. $450 million clean energy project intent to capturing man-made carbon dioxide, CO2, has been successful in capturing only one thing, dollars. 450 million of them. It's 6 years behind schedule. It remains stuck in the first phase. Essentially, nothing's happening, and we've spent $450 million. The airport with no long lines ever, $200 million. Long waits and security lines at airports around the country caused tens of thousands of us to get mad, but not too far from O'Hara, another airport's been avoiding the frustration of long lines. For Mid-America St. Louis Airport in Massachusetts, Illinois, the problem's the opposite. There's nobody there. They don't even have enough passengers to fill a plane. These are things you should be pissed about. These are things that you should be angry about. We waste so much money. So the next time your government comes to you, whether it be local, whether it be national, whether they talk about raising taxes or they talk about doing some sort of sales tax or something like that, and they roll out a child and they say, blah, 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 this child's never going to learn to read if you don't give us more money. Remember all of this. How about this? How about I read to the child what a dumbass idea it was to put a fish on a treadmill, and you take the money you were going to go do and use that for and give it to him? The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, CHADBENSON, chad@chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423.
It's the Chad Benson Show. You're too much, but young, you're married with a son. You're listening to the Chad Benson Show.
I love it. You're not getting that anywhere else, kids. That's the specials. Is that specials? That's specials, yeah. Much too young, Terry Hall. The Chad Benson Show, thanks so much for making us part of your gorgeous Thursday, wherever you're listening. This guy is hilarious. His name is Nick Smith, and his sarcasm in this has got him what other people seek, and I find this to be hilarious. He does these fake, like, video things. And what he does is you'll listen to that and listen to what he's saying. And at first you may not pick it up, and I'll explain it to you afterwards. But the way that he does this is so clever, and it's what I've been saying for a very long time about our need to be wanted, accepted, the craving of attention, not so much from humans in front of us, but from people online. Take a listen.
Hey, guys, here's a selfie. Okay, likes, please. Karma, please. Likes, please. Send them my way. Hey, guys, here's my stomach. Okay, you know the drill. Likes, karma, validation, let's go. Come on, send them my way. Let's... Guys, here's a book that I'm reading sometimes. Okay, messages. Tell me I'm smart. Okay, guys, I'm filming a video of cats doing funny things. Let's go faster. I need more followers. I need more Reddit votes. Okay, I just considered donating to the American Red Cross. I'm not sure I'm thinking about it. Tell me that I'm a good person. Tell me that I'm a saint and share that with all of your friends.
It's the whole thing, this whole want for us to be needed and somehow admired. And I see it. I got it on my Facebook, and you'll go and you'll see these girls and they're beautiful, right? Like, you know, you're walking down the street, you would definitely notice them. And they put themselves in situations because they're for whatever reason, they're lacking something. You see it from guys too. You see it from everybody, this want to get this. And look, we've heard, we've seen the studies, we've read the studies that, you know, people who get a lot of likes, the endorphins start to kick in. It's the whole Pavlov dog. So you do it over and over again, and you do it. And that's why people throw themselves out of hotel rooms and live stream it, because there's a want and desire to be popular. And it's much different. Again, you wanted to be popular in school. You don't have to be popular in school now. The most popular guy in school or gal in school, they may only have 400 or 500, you know, Instagram followers and whatnot and whatever hell, you know, their Snapchat and what. And yet there could be somebody there who's like, I got, you know, 4 million. It's this want, this desire. No longer is high school for the cool kids. The cool kids, you got to be cool online. And this guy's great. Validation. Please, people who I've never, ever met, validate me. Please, people who I've never, ever met, please validate me. Somebody tell me I'm doing something good. I need a new like. I need a new this. I need a new that. And we've all done it. It's a keeping up with the Joneses thing. It's a very natural thing in life to want to do better than others. But we've gotten to the point now where we put ourselves in bizarre situations just to do that. It's crazy. It is. And over again, we're seeing it from top to bottom with kids and how they're doing these kind of things. And this is the new world. It's not all bad. It's not. We can look at it and say, oh, this is not a good way to live. But we're judging on the way that we grew up and the things that we're used to. But this is the world that we're in now. And because of that, it's not all bad. Some of it is when you put yourself in really bad situations to try to get that kind of attention. But a lot of it is, this is the new world. We have to adjust. It's an understanding of things. It's crazy, though. I like that. Somebody validate me, please. Please, validate me. Somebody, for the love of God, validate me. Validate me. Somebody, please. Same thing with our news, right? Like, we want validation. We're the opposite of that. We're going to get validation, and we want validation. Depends. Older people looking at certain news things, we want validation. We want certain things. Younger people want validation from the computer. We go to the computer to find validation. Different. Interesting. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. I love this. This whole thing that took place with Trump that has been so bizarre and so twisted. We're going to get down and dirty and find out about the definitely the skinny of it all. Joining us next, Mark Hemingway from the Weekly Standard. Very interesting. There's a company that's involved. Who are they? What do they do? Why are they involved? Who knew? Who didn't know? What's it going to be like for people in the future to deal with Trump if you're a journalist? Mark Hemingway, Weekly Standard, joins us next. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook. At Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. This be here, the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Sorted indeed. This whole thing that half-assed broke the other night about Donald Trump in weird relations with Russian sex workers and God knows what else. Where did it come from? Why are we getting it now? Joining us now from the Weekly Standard, Mark Hemingway's got a great article about the sordid history of the firm behind the Trump-Russian dossier. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing well.
All right, first and foremost, how does something like this get through everybody and get to somebody?
That is a really good question because, you know, the most interesting thing about this is sort of the chain of custody. So far, what we know is that sometime last fall, according to, I think, British intelligence sources told the BBC that people connected to a Jeb Bush super PAC hired a group in Washington, D.C. called Fusion GPS to put together this dossier on Trump, and they in turn hired this ex-British spook to do a lot of the damning intelligence reports that have now subsequently blown up in both CNN and BuzzFeed's face.
It's odd that it did blow up in their face, but, you know, when I was reading your article, this Fusion GPS is – are they – first of all, explain to everybody who they are and what they do.
Yeah, so that's a good question. They are one of these sort of like shadowy political operative firms that exist in Washington, D.C. They were founded by a guy named Glenn Simpson, who for years was an investigative reporter at the Wall Street Journal. He's kind of a colorful history there when he was still a legitimate journalist. But anyway, he started this organization, I believe it was in 2009. And ever since then, they've been sort of doing opposition research for hire. The reason why when the New York Times reported last night that Fusion GPS had put together the report that jumped out at me was because in 2012, the Wall Street Journal, ironically enough, and specifically their columnist Kim Strassel, had done some blockbuster reporting on this Fusion GPS firm because they were running around harassing Romney donors and donors to socially conservative causes. They were like digging into Republican donors' divorce records and doing all these underhanded things. Then later on in 2015, I had written about this, you know, 2 years ago when Planned Parenthood got stung in that video sting that apparently showed members of Planned Parenthood trafficking in organs from fetal body parts. They had hired Fusion GPS to do this forensic report saying that the video sting was manipulated and that they had doctored the video and all these other things. That whole report is basically bogus if you look at the specific details, the caveats within the report, and the subsequent evidence unearthed by congressional investigations. But it's pretty clear that this organization is basically, if you need, you know, some sort of black bag work in Washington, you need an opponent smeared, you hire these guys, and they do it for, I presume, a handsome price.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not cheap. Talking to Mark Hemingway from the Weekly Standard. You know, Mark, you talk about these guys, and they're mercenaries. They don't seem to – there's no side they really seem to care about. They care about the green. It reminds me of having, like, the mercenaries in the 70s that would go, you know, soldier for hire. These
right.
guys seem to be just the same thing, except they do it on the political battlefield.
Well, but it's interesting you characterize it that way because – one of the most interesting aspects of this is that it was, you know, this is a firm that's typically associated with Democratic and progressive causes, and that they would be hired by people connected to Jeb Bush is really unusual. In Washington, you know, there's a lot of political operative firms, but they tend to sort of stay on their side of the aisle. I mean, it makes sense, which is to say that if you hire somebody to do opposition research on a candidate you're running against, you know, the way the D.C. works, who knows, you might be supporting that guy in the next election cycle. So you don't want to, you know, sort of poison the well too much. You tend to want to stick to people that are sympathetic to your political viewpoint. So it was really unprecedented that the Jeb Bush people would, you know, go to a firm that's primarily a Democratic one. And the founder of this firm has a history of going after conservative causes and conservative donors going back to – he wrote a book in the 90s where he went after the Christian Coalition, basically accusing them of electioneering and all sorts of other – you know, shady things that they were allegedly doing. And a lot of his evidence was cited by the Federal Election Commission in the Clinton administration. And they spent years going after the Christian Coalition and to not much avail. But the other interesting thing about that is that the FEC's crusade against the Christian Coalition was led by one Lois Lerner, the woman who was also at the center of the IRS scandal some, you know, I guess 13 years later. So this guy has a long history of harassing conservative groups, and it seems to be something he really wants to do.
Turnabout's fair play. You're in politics and you're out there doing stuff like this. And I look at somebody like Donald Trump and I what I know about people who are uber successful and have a ton of money is they have a very long memory. Is there any repercussions for these kind of things? Because you would start to think if you're spreading stuff and you're going after people, the repercussions are out there, whether it be politically, they do something politically, but which probably won't happen. But I mean, I don't think that Donald's going to sit around and take this lightly.
No, I don't think so, too. And pretty soon he'll have the levers of power where he can, you know, go in there and start cleaning house and, you know, turning over desks until he finds out who the person behind this was. Because what happened here is it's not – this dossier had been circulating among journalists for months and, you know, long before the election even, and no one had printed anything related to it because it simply wasn't credible. And indeed, we've seen a lot of the details turn out to be unverifiable since it has become public. But what happened is somewhere along the way, recently, someone in the intelligence community, probably someone of some importance, obviously put their seal of approval on this, and that was enough to make CNN and BuzzFeed go out on a limb. The other point I would make is that we don't know whether or not Fusion GPS was, in fact, the people pushing it still this time around. You know, we also need to ask ourselves you know, we know of a few disinformation campaigns now that Fusion GPS has been involved in. We know that they're doing underhanded work. We have to wonder what other news stories that these guys have been involved in pushing over the last couple of years, and whether or not we've been fed a pile of garbage, as Trump called BuzzFeed, on other stories from these guys as well.
Well, you know, and if I was Trump, I'd call him too. I mean, you know, you're out there saying stuff like golden showers and all kinds of crazy stuff like this, and really, you know, and embarrassing the hell of you. I call it as I see it as well. As we talked to Mark Hemingway from the Weekly Standard, Mark, as a person who's a reporter and a writer yourself, you look at stuff like this and know things are shopped out there. Is it difficult now because of the propaganda news? I don't call it fake news. I don't know if you agree with me or not. I call it propaganda because it's a pushing an agenda. The Onion is fake news. To this, I find this to be propaganda. Is it tough for you now when you look at how much due diligence do you have to go over and over again and double, triple check at this point in time?
Well, it is certainly true that your duties as a citizen are now drastically elevated. I mean, it's not enough to just, you know, read the papers and stay, quote, informed. Now you have to be a professional news consumer, it seems like, to have an idea of who are reliable reporters and sources within individual publications and know what the bent of particular publications is and what they've done lately and all these other things to parse accurate information. And it is a terrifying state of affairs to be in, which is why it's so bizarre to see CNN and BuzzFeed have done this. I mean, it's like watching, you know, them commit suicide in real time. I mean, already the media credibility was in the toilet, and they're coming out with this stuff. And frankly, I'm terrified about this. I think that that all politicians, all people in power need to be held accountable, and that is very, very hard to do when the media are out there are so partisan that they're willing to just, you know, light their credibility on fire because they think there will be something in the short term to be gained by destroying the reputation of, you know, whoever's in power. And it's really, again, terrifying.
You know, you talk about it, that, you know, it's we need a strong media. We need an unbiased media, which we don't get anymore, because I look at journalists, especially a younger version of journalism, and it's changed from the Walter Cronkite days and days like that, where, you know what, they may have leaned one way or another, but you would have never known. They were there to report the news. They were going to let you decide, and now they're all activists. But you look at this now. It's also a business, and I think we forget that. Everybody's viewing for clicks and views. And anymore, is it even wrong? Who cares if you're wrong? As long as you're the first one to something and people are paying attention, is the way I look at it. Is that wrong of me?
No, I think that's certainly part of it. I mean, people are chasing clicks, and the way the business models work, you know, it's just about, you know, making a splash and attracting attention and eyeballs, and you know, that is an unfortunate aspect of the business. But, you know, the other thing we have to keep in mind here, though, is that journalism is just an important institution in this country, and there are other institutions in this country that are already falling apart. I mean, like I said, the intelligence community has their stamp of approval on this, whether they like it or not now. And, you know, this is, again, you know, yet another important institution we depend upon that, you know, is sacrificing its credibility on the altar of politics. And just down the line, we see this happening, you know, at all levels of government and at all levels of public life, and it is really, really scary. We need to have authority and experts and people that we can trust looking out for us. And right now, I don't think that anyone in this country feels good about where we are in that regard. And frankly, the ironic thing is this is how we ended up with Trump. Americans felt that the media was bullying them, didn't care about their way of life, didn't care about their values. And in particular, it was a bunch of East Coast media elite types that were ramming an agenda down their throat, whether they wanted it or not. And Trump was the first guy to stand up and say, you know what, the media has been weaponized, this is not fair, and I'm going to be the guy that fights back. So the more that the media engage in these unfair attacks against Trump, the more that it's going to prove that people were right all along, that the media is out to get them, and the more that they should support Trump. And if that's what the media wants, I don't think that's what it is. They should do some. They should think about doing, you know, the right thing here and doing their jobs.
Yeah. Last question. I'll let you go. Mark Hemingway from the Weekly Standard joins us. You look forward a year from now. Trump's been in office. Obviously, he'll have his ups and downs and the whole nine yards. But on the journalistic side of things, what's the year going to be like with Trump? Because he doesn't – this isn't – you know, the media seemed to love Obama. Obama used the media. This is going to be a much more antagonistic, fighting kind of situation between the two. And I think we're going to get him calling a lot of people out on the floor for stuff. Do you think it's going to be a battle more than it is a partnership?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's already proven that way. But, you know, the question is, like I said, is how does the media benefit from this? How does America benefit from this? Because, like, so far, I mean, we've seen, you know, the media turn everything up to 11 since Trump got elected. And it was bad enough during the election. You know, there's no nominee that Trump can pick that isn't, you know, deeply problematic. There's no thing that Trump can speak about or tweet about that isn't an issue for them that you know, that rises to the level of a constitutional crisis. There are plenty of legitimate things to criticize about Donald Trump. I mean, there are very serious issues, his conflicts of interest. You know, there certainly are even important questions we need to get the bottom of involving his relationship with Russia and that of his advisors and the people that he wants to join his government. So it would be nice if we could get to the bottom of these issues in a non-histrionic way to know exactly what we're dealing with and to hold him accountable. But so long as the media screams bloody murder about everything, no one's going to ever assume that a crime is actually being committed.
Fantastic. His name's Mark Hemingway. Great writer. He's at the Weekly Standard, one of those few places you can go anymore and I think find legit news where people actually do their homework, and you're thinking to yourself, do I have to go triple check this somewhere because it may be baloney? Thanks so much for taking time with us today, man. Great, great job on this.
Anytime. Thank you very much.
The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. You can text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Paul Anka is going to perform My Way at the inauguration. And by the way, they have announced that there will be no, I repeat, there will be no Maria Osmond. He's like, I'm not that desperate. Oh, Chad, that is a horrible thing to say. Maria's amazing. She is amazing. She's fantastic. So I have pinpointed yet another reason besides goat yoga why America is maybe the envy and at the same time the most hated country on earth. Yes, we have run out of ideas for food. Taco Bell has led the way in doing things on a national scale that fairs have been trying for years. And they've decided to do something different now. And this time they're taking a natural approach to something, which also just makes everybody else go, God, America's got way too much crap. Take a listen to the Naked Chicken Chalupa.
Taco Bell's newest food creation involves a taco shell made out of chicken. The Naked Chicken Chalupa has a taco shell made entirely out of marinated, all-white, crispy chicken. Inside the shell, there's lettuce, tomatoes, cheddar cheese, and an avocado ranch dressing. The Naked Chicken Chalupa will go on sale for $3 on January 26th. Mark Mayfield, NBC News Radio.
That's Mark Mayfield. If you don't recognize him, you just the sound of him, right? Just sounds, he just sounds like he's got the biggest, bestest jaw in the history of the world. And what a great voice, man. That guy should do some other stuff. I wonder what he looks like. Let's take a look at him. I bet you he's got veneers. Does he have veneers? Is he as handsome as we think he is? No, I don't think so. Yes, he does. He's got veneers. Yeah, he does. Those things aren't real, kids. He's definitely rocking it. Rocking it. Rocking it! So this is why America is the ruling class of all that we purvey. It is not because we have the most incredible military. It is not because we are self-sustaining in all ways. If we were to shut the doors today, we could self-sustain ourselves quite well. We'd be good. No. It is not that. It is because of things like this. We have taken, we're over now just having a regular taco shell, right? You know, Taco Bell's given that up. They're like, we don't need that. That's crap. How about we have a Dorito taco shell? No, that is a bunch of bunk and baloney. How about we have a Cheetos? Oh, that's crazy. Like, I guess we could do that. How about we just take chicken, deep fry it, and we'll make it the taco shell. Boom. We have chicken fries. I think Burger King has those, right? That's your go-to place, right? Burger King? You like the King there, Phil?
I do like the King.
They have chicken fries. You ask for it, it's coming back. I'm like, hell yeah, I should never go anywhere. Chicken fries are delicious. This is why the world hates us. Deep fried Snickers? Hell yeah. Deep fried butter? Why not? Deep fried shoe, I'll eat it. We don't care. We're over it now. People are starving. We're doing goat yoga and eating things that people only dream about. We joked about the hamburger with the donuts on the outside. We went to Red Robin, what was it, about 2 months ago, and we had, they've got a waffle burger now, and I believe they had the Top Ramen burger, where they made a bun out of Top Ramen. We're not even trying anymore now. We're not. None of us are trying. It's like, what's this? Here, can you deep fry it? Probably. Should we eat it? Why not? Why not? Let's try it. Maybe that, you know, could we deep fry bacon? Absolutely. Could we put some chocolate on deep fried bacon? Why not? How about we deep fry the bacon, put some chocolate on it, then we'll double deep fry it. Then from there, we'll put some butter on it. We'll triple deep fry that. Then we'll put a donut around it, and we'll double, triple, triple, quadruple deep fry that.
And finish it off with Nutella.
What'd you say? Put some Nutella on it?
Yeah, finish it off with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There you go. It is a winner. When people around the world are jealous of America, it is not because of the great resources. It is not because of the magical military. It's not because of our freedoms. It is because we're gluttony. We are gluttony. You open it up, there's the United States of America. There it is. And you want to know why we're obese? Because of this. God bless America. Every fat one of us. The Chad Benson Show. Your Facebook at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, chadbensonshow.com. Friday, movies and fun stuff for Anthony, for Phil, for Scott. My name's Chad Benson. As always, I bid you adieu. Night, night, Jack.
The Chad Benson Show.